My voice, I'm yelling so hard this morning, trying to get over that mic there, hear myself, or the speaker. I'm starting to get hoarse. So if I gallop around, it means it got to me. Go for it. Let's go. Let's all just go ahead and gallop. How many of you remember there's a TV show way back in we used to say, called the Galloping Gourmet. Anybody remember that, Galloping Gourmet? How many of you? One, two people, three people, Galloping Gourmet. In fact, we watched it because that's the only thing we used to watch. I mean, there's nothing on TV. We had only one channel back home, CBC, and you might get another one, just almost can see it. But so imagine how many things we get. Now, yesterday I saw on the CTV that they send out more satellites into the atmosphere around the world, around the Earth. And so what they're doing is they want to have more, so everybody can have perfect internet and phone service all over the world. So they sent those satellites, like they got, I forget how many they're going to put up there, just thousands of stuff flying around the atmosphere. So that you can have your cell phone, so you can get a clear phone. You can go to way up in North Pole and talk, take a picture of a polar bear and send it to Africa or something. Just phenomenal, and have clear, like you saw the bear right there, praise God. And so it's wonderful to see all this technology. The book of Daniel says, in the last days that things are going to move fast. Things are moving quicker, and the Bible says that the devil has a short time. He knows his time is coming, and Jesus is coming back. I don't know when he's coming back, but he is coming back, and he's not gonna appear and come on earth. He's gonna appear in the sky, and those that are born again is gonna be caught up in the air, and all those people have been dead. Their body's gonna change in a twinkling of an eye, their bodies are gonna change, and you, my brother and sister. Your spirit is born again. You have a brand new spirit. When you were not born again, you had a spirit that was dead, and you had to be regenerated. And so this time your body will be redeemed. When Jesus comes, you'll have a brand new body. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah? Your body's going to change. It'll be like Jesus' body. You could float and walk through different things, and you'll be in heaven. You'll have a heavenly body, and you'll go up to heaven for a while. And then Jesus is going to come back again. But he's not coming back. He's going to come back with a strong word for people who don't believe. And it's called the second coming. So there's the rapture and the second coming. There's two times that Jesus comes back. And there's going to be some other things. So we did a small series on the last days. And there's some more things we'd like to say about it. We'll talk a little bit more about it. And so we are in the last days. How many people know we're in the last days? The Bible says, when Jesus left here, the Bible says this was the beginning of the last days. I believe we're coming to the end of the last days. Things are going to happen. And so you don't have to be afraid of that, but Jesus, God said he'll protect you from everything. Amen. So even sickness and disease. And so we thank God for his word gives us the faith that we need to function. Amen. So you will have a new, brand new body. Glory to God, there will be no sickness and pain and so on. And lately, I don't know about you, but I've been doing so many funerals. I got sick and tired of doing funerals. I told Pastor Ken, you start doing them. Yesterday, I had one the other day. I just got back home. I did like two, three times once a week or something like that. People dying, young children, old people, young boys and girls. I had another one call me yesterday. Can you do a funeral? I said, yes, I'll do it. Provided that, if all the stars line up properly. No, I didn't say that. It was just something it was hard sometimes. It's hard doing funerals. It's not easy. I did one funeral last week. It was probably the best funeral I've ever been in my entire life. Everyone was a born-again Christian. The mom brought up all the family in the Lord and taught them, and they were so blessed that they knew the Lord altogether and gave good testimony at the funeral. There was good singing and rejoicing, but tears that they're going to miss mom. But this lady, in her 80s, she was been watching Spirit Life television, And she really got a hold of the message of Jesus Christ. She lived over here just outside of one of the other towns. And her children were everywhere across Canada. And so they knew how much they loved Pastor Roma and Spirit Alive on television. And so they thought they'd call me if I had time to come in. They said, oh, he probably doesn't have any time. You know how busy he is. So I said, no, but I'll come. I'm going to, you know, be there and so on. We had a good meeting. And so we had two services. We had the funeral service at the chapel. And then the next day, we had the one day rest. And we had another one at the, at the Riverside, had kind of a different service, sunset service. So it was great. So that's what I've been doing. I've been doing, going around, doing funerals. And if you need me to do one with you, I'm taking names right now. So it's amazing. But, you know, death is a mystery to a lot of people because they don't know about this. Everybody's going to die. How many people know? We're all going to die one time or another, and you might as well face it. You might as well get ready right now. And that is get born again. That's how you get ready and learn about what happens when you die. It's not a mystery. People are afraid. They're afraid of dying. They're afraid of what's going to happen. You won't feel anything when you die, by the way. You just go out and step onto another world. I mean, thank God for that. And if you have a mom and dad who died, believes in Jesus, they're having a great time right now. Praise God. Amen. They don't want to come back here. My mom died. You know, one time she said she went to heaven and she come back and the Lord told her, you can't come right now. You have to go back. She went back to her body and she went in her body in the hospital. She said, I came right into my body. And he said, I just felt so disappointed. Came back into my body. And I could just feel the pain again in my body. And she got well, of course. And she said different things to me. I talked to Jesus about a ministry that I had. She talked to me about being in a ministry. And so the Lord encouraged me to come into ministry. If anybody else in the world, she told me, you know, you go into ministry. And so I thank God for my heritage. You know, she was raised up a Catholic, got born again, and came to church. In the morning, she came to evangelical church in the morning. In the nighttime, she'd go to Catholic church. Then on her days off, she'd go to bingo. And and so she had a full life. And my mom didn't, you know, she wasn't real strong in the things of God. And she was healed many, many times. And whenever the Spirit of God moved in our house, she's the first one dancing around. She'd even break windows, you know. And it was wonderful to see that. My mom was a very good dancer in the Spirit. You know, and I wish some of you had danced like that. Some of you don't dance at all. And in fact, you should smile once in a while, too. You know, I'm teasing you. Amen. Praise God. So people say, oh, yeah, I'm smiling. I'm smiling on the inside. You know. Praise God. You guys doing okay back there? Praise God. Bless you. Love you. I can't see. Is that Vic back there? No, that's Roy. I don't know who he is. Somebody back there is a Boston guy. I can't see his face though. So anyway, you still want to check out who he is? Can you light a fire back there and see who he is? By the way, we had a nice fire last night. You know, the wood was still wet because there was lots of rain that came and it kind of stood there. One day, Sterling came. He said, "Do you guys need any wood?" I said, "Sure, bring it over." And he was advertising about giving this wood away. And I saw about 400 notes on there that they want that wood. So I'm glad he dropped by my house first. We unloaded it. But it got wet a few times. And last night we lit a fire. And it was a nice big fire. And I told my daughter, I said, I'm going to use my old Indian tricks how to make a really good fire. But it kind of went damp after. So we had to fan it and... We had to take a, we couldn't find, I told my wife, go and get some something to fan the flame. She come by and brought a small little popcorn box, and she said, you need something bigger than that. So we went in and did something better, and it was that kind of embers there, you know, and big wood, and I went and got a dustpan, and it was huge after, really, really big. And it reminded of last night we talked about it, that'd be a good illustration, because you know, sometimes our life in the Spirit gets really dampened by the things of life, and we get a little cold in our faith, in our spiritual walk. And sometimes you need to come back. Like the book of Timothy says, you come by and you fan the flame of fire in your life. Amen? You stir yourself up. And that's what we need, amen? Everybody stand up for a second and lift your hands and give God praise for the service, amen? Hallelujah, Father. Come on, stir yourself up. We thank you, Lord. We're ready to receive the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you for the great anointing that's here. We thank you for the fire of God this morning. We pray that people will just erupt with great eruption of the Spirit and be blessed. We thank you for dancing and singing and miracles and healings, deliverances, Father God. In this house, let there be a shaking in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. Come and bring Jesus and make him Lord in this life and make him a reality to people. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Praise God. All right, turn in your Bibles. Corey's watching. I don't know where Corey is watching from. But he says, while we were worshiping and there's exhortation going on, he said, I just feel the power of God in my house shaking, or wherever he is, but the power of God was there shaking his house too. So Corey, we love you wherever you are. God bless you. And if you're going to another church this morning, tell everybody we said hello. We love them. The Church of God, amen? We're going to talk about how to deal with anxieties. How to deal with anxieties. And our topic area was dealing with your emotions through the Word of God. Dealing with your emotions through the Word of God. So how to deal with anxieties is our title. I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, and I'm going to send you guys a message back there so you can get it. Let me just see here. If you go to 1 Peter, and I'm going to deal with this from the Amplified Version of the Bible, how to deal with anxieties, how to deal with your anxieties. You know, I don't like dealing with yours. I'm having enough trouble with my own. Amen. Praise God. So here in the Amplified Version, it says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, seven times a day, no, once and for all, once and for all, on him, not on anybody else, but on him, for he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. There's so much in that Bible verse, you could go in many directions, but I just want to focus opening words with the fact that casting all your cares, all your anxieties on the Lord. And the point I want to make to you this morning is that we can all live anxiety-free. We can live anxiety-free no matter what is going on in your life. Financial difficulty, death of a loved one, a close one, disease, addictions, drug addictions, pandemics, unemployment. The Bible says that we can live free from anxiety. That's what this Bible verse is talking about. So the point is, we can live anxiety-free. And the question for many people, can I? As an introduction, I want to mention that what if someone told you that you'll never have to worry a single day about your life again, about your future, about anything. And if it was possible to be carefree. So, well, that's exactly what God said in His scriptures, that we can be carefree, that we can live anxiety-free. God's word is true, my brother and sister. God's word is true, family of God. John 17:7 says that thy word is truth. God's word is truth. And the Bible says that Jesus said in John 8:32, he says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. So it's getting the truth in you that makes you free every day. I know we have a lot to, you know, considerably to be concerned about. We could take on a lot of burdens. And let's answer some questions. First of all, as a very just briefly say, ask this question: what are anxieties? What are they? Well, I looked up different things, and I've found out just through my studies over the years that anxiety is an emotion that is characterized by an unpleasant state of your inner self, of inner turmoil. It can often be accompanied by nervous behaviors, such as pacing and twitches and different things and various nervous behaviors. A person suffering from anxiety can be experiencing feelings of dread, of anticipating future events that are fearful, whether they're real or imagined. Like, say, for instance, going to a doctor would give you some sort of anxiety if you're afraid of doctor, different things about going to a dentist. Some say that a fear of going to the dentist is one of the greatest fears that people have in public speaking as well. Is a very high level of feeling nervousness and anxiety provoking you. It's a feeling of an uneasiness and worry, of worrisome. It's closely related and linked to fear. It's also accompanied by restlessness, muscle tensions, stomach disorders, inability to concentrate, and even fatigue, weaknesses. Weakness in your knees, weakness in your body, lifelessness, listlessness, you can't do very much. It sometimes strikes people to the place where they're stricken. They cannot move, cannot talk, they cannot do anything. They have weakness everywhere. And those are extreme cases. Sometimes I suffered from that extreme case myself. You can't breathe. You can't concentrate and think right. I've had those moments just before I came in here. Sometimes it's happened, and it's happened to people. So it involves threat of the future, of future events that you have no control over. And so this is a little synoptic view of what an anxiety is. It has to do with emotions. It has to do with this up here, what you're thinking. And if you want to be free from it, you're going to have to understand what God's Word says about it and about you and your future and how much He loves you and how much He cares for you. Our text says that we cast all our cares, all our anxieties on Him. If He has them, He'll take care of them for you. If you're still fretting about things, griping, complaining, or speaking negatively and thinking wrong about them and experiencing negative emotions, you still have them. That's an indication you're still carrying them. You didn't throw it over to God. The Bible says you do this one time. One time. You don't have to do it over and over every day. If you're trying to do it over and over a day, it tells us that you don't know how to do it or that you haven't done it. So I would guess there's a lot of people here that don't know how to do it, because I've seen a lot of people that are afraid of a lot of stuff. Now, there's anxieties that are actually normal, cares that are normal. Like, did I feed the dog? you're concerned about that. Did I buy, enough shampoo for the whole month? So different. There's just little things that people get concerned about, but there are normal things that we should be concerned about, like locking your door at night. I mean, never know who's going to pop in. Could be your friends from the reserve, and they'll be sleeping all over your front yard and your couch. And one time, my wife and I, my wife didn't understand about First Nations people. I took her to the reserve. Yes, she stayed on the reserve, and we hid her. We covered her head. I don't want anybody to see her. So we stayed in the reserve, and she was just getting ready, doing different things at Ed's and Mac's house. And she was wondering, who are these people keep coming in this house and going to the fridge? People walk in the house, and they go to the fridge, eat something, and walk back out. Nobody says anything. It's 11 o'clock at night. He says to me, who are these people? I said, well, that's how it is on the community. People drop in and eat, relatives. And so kind of that's how the culture is. And so she got to know different things about us. It's family, amen? In some places, you'll have a hole in your head. Do that. You can't do that everywhere, amen? So that's why we have to change our perspective. Not everybody is like that. So if you're continually fretting about your situation, getting tense, griping, grumbling and everything, and complaining about everything, complaining about him or her or whatever situation that's going on in your life, and always thinking negative and experiencing negative emotions about a certain situation, that means you have not given that up to the Lord. So we need to learn how to do this, how to turn your care over to the Lord. So if you got them, and if you're doing this, God can't do anything about them because you still have it. He's not going to force it off your hand. The Bible says you do this one time, you'll have to deal with your flesh, your unrenewed mind in the process. Human nature or your natural self wants to control over everything, over every situation. You want control over it. You have to learn how to trust God and not be anxious about anything. You can't limit God because you seemingly are skillful and knowledgeable and have some kind of power in your life to do different things. So you'll just have to walk by faith and learn how to walk by faith. To have faith is to be sure, the Bible says, the Good News Bible says, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. So you might have a situation, maybe you somehow pointed a bad picture of your future or something going on in your life. There's a bad negative picture, so when you have the picture, it's going to present you some negative emotion. You're going to have to deal with your unrenewed mind and learn how, as the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5, that we cast on a negative thinking. You have to control your thinking by operating in the Spirit and working it according to the Word of God. You can't do this by yourself. Like, I learned psychology. I got interested in psychology because I needed to learn how to control my emotions and my thinking. So I proceeded to study psychology. I learned all the introductions, different psychology programs and courses in a university. I learned about the disease of the mind and, abnormal psych and different courses I took over the years. And just because of interest, I began to study even more on it because being a teacher and a pastor and counselor and so on, a mentor, I had to learn different things about it for my own profession and my own professional life. And I noticed a lot of things about it that one of the greatest aspects of it is learning to think right, learning to control your thinking. And a lot of people don't, we learn a lot of things about psychology, how to control the mind. And I did learn that. And the first time, as a young man, I went to a social worker who really showed me how to deal with anxiety from a naturalist point of view. And I sat down with this person, and she showed me a lot of stuff and how to actually control that. I was glad I learned that. We need to learn that, but still there's another aspect to it that we have to learn from the spiritual side as well as our natural self. So to have faith is to be sure of things we hope for. So if you're going to be sure of your life in God, you're going to have some information that God says about you and about stuff and about life, to put your hope in that so that your hope can aim for the good and then your faith can manifest that in your life. Let me tell you, so to have anxieties and to be a worrisome person is a sinful lifestyle. It's not a bad habit, it's a sin. And so we have to learn to understand it from also that perspective. Now, in a lot of ways, it's not a sin. Some people call it a bad habit. Yeah, we can accept that, but it's more than that. If you do something that God forbids us anything to do, it's a sin. Our text says, do not worry or be anxious about anything. So then those who do not, the Bible says here in James 4:7, so then those who do not do the good they know they should do are guilty of sin. If you're worrying, the Bible says, do not worry. If God says, do not worry or have anxiety, then if you're doing that, then to you it's sin. God told you not to do it. And so many believers are sinning and living in disobedience regarding the subject of worry and carrying on their anxieties. We all have various kinds of anxieties and worries, fears, concerns. But God tells us what to do with them. We can cast every care upon Him, no matter what they are, just like our scripture text says, casting all your anxieties or all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for or because He cares about you. Like, you have to have faith that God actually cares about you. Not about the situation, but He cares about you. He cares about your state of mind and the peace that He's bought for you. You're not experiencing those things. And He watches over you carefully. The scripture says that God is concerned with everything that we're concerned about. He's concerned about, He has compassion on us. And a lot of times, you know, we have things that we can't control in our lives. How can you live in this world and be at peace and do your job, you know, and live and be a nice person and have all these worries on your life? Like, you're not going to give people the care and concern that you need to give because you carry so much load. And you should be able to not have that. Like, if you're worried about your life and you're trying to deal with people, have natural conversation with them and treating them. Like, some people are just gripey and complaining because they're carrying such a load, they cannot be human to someone. Relational. And so we worry. When we worry, what we're telling God is that God doesn't care about us or that He's concerned with us. You're telling your Heavenly Father, you don't care about me. And you're not worried and concerned about things. You tell God you're worried. Is God worried about that? No, He isn't. But we're telling God that. Notice this. He says, casting all, A-L-L, all. Casting all your cares. The Bible encourages us that we cast all our cares onto the Lord. All means every kind, no matter what they are. No matter what it is. God here makes no qualification of what sort of care you should care or that you can cast on Him. All means it covers everything. It covers natural things and spiritual things that exist among us. Secondly, it says that we cast our cares on God, on Him one time. Meaning that you need to do this, whatever care it is, you cast it on one. Now, the next day there might be another care, so you do it again. If a new one comes in, you say, God, another one came up. Whoops, another one came up. I'm going to cast it on you. So you do it regularly. But not always the same thing. Now, I heard, you know, someone that I admire very much said over the years that you're going to have marvelous opportunities to worry. Because new ones come and arrive by the freight loads every day. And the devil's ready to drop off a whole set of pile of them at your house. And they're waiting for you. So, regarding faith and worry, it's impossible to be in faith and to be worried sick and to suffer from anxiety attacks. You cannot have anxiety, regular anxiety attacks. You can't be worried sick and actually be in faith at the same time. Either you're in one area or you're in another area. So some people might have a little bit of they might be encouraged by natural things changing. And so they don't worry that much because, you know, they think they got success because nothing bad's going on. But when bad things happen, now they just fly off the handle and then they lose control. They get panic attacks and so on. Faith is essential when casting your cares on God, especially when you're praying. When you pray the prayer of casting your cares on God. Notice what Paul's word to the Philippians says in the Philippians 4:6. I'm reading the God's Word translation. He said, never worry about anything. That's something that's big. I remember Brother Higgins said, you know, telling God, God, if I can't worry, then I can't be a Christian. Because I've my whole family was world champion warriors. They got a shelf load of trophies. Of winning consecutive awards of worry every year. My grandfather, great-grandfather was a warrior. Gave it down to his grandfather. And his grandfather gave it to his dad. His dad gave it to him. And now he has this prize of being world champion warrior. Some people think worry is something that you do for people so that if you love them enough, you would worry and have anxiety attacks for them. But that's not what God says in his word. Because worry will kill you. It says that 80% of the people who are in mental institutions, I read one thing that this is because they worry themselves to death. Worry their health out. So worry, my friend, having anxiety is not a small issue. I was saying yesterday, and I read something as I studied over the years, that 90% of the people have a mild form of mental health disorder, from little small worries and anxieties to extreme delusional lifestyle, which is abnormal. So everybody has something here that they can have a good panic attack about this morning. But you need to take your gospel pill. Read your text. Read your Bible text, right? And begin to take that in and meditate on it. The more you meditate on the Bible, let me tell you something real good. You need to meditate on the Bible. Meditate on it. Get a scripture. You don't have to read tons of scripture to actually be a world champion for God. You just get a scripture that speaks to you about something that's bothering you. Get a scripture and read that for 2-3 days, hours sometimes. Just go ahead and read it. And talk to yourself about it. Tell yourself, I don't have to worry. The scripture says this. The scripture says that. Who does the devil think he is? God made me stronger than the devil. I'm a world champion. I'm an overcomer. You can't touch me, devil. You have no ability to hurt me because Jesus said nothing shall by any means hurt me. And talk back to the devil. Look at him. Talk back to him. And just don't ignore him pretending he's not there, because he is there talking to you. Fight back. The only way you fight back is use scripture like Jesus did. He said, the word says this, the word says that. And when a thought comes to you, tell yourself out loud, I don't believe that. Here's what I believe. You tell yourself that out loud and talk to him. The devil says something. No, I don't believe that. With long life will he satisfy me. God supplies all my needs. Talk back to him. So that's how you fight back. That's how you meditate. That's called meditation. Meditation is talking to yourself out loud about what the Bible says. That's how it is. That's what it is. It's not like this. That's not meditation, emptying up your mind. No, you're filling up your mind with the Word of God. That's the only way you get peace, is fill your mind with the Word. So your spirit is fed, and that you get strong in the things of God. Amen? Yes, it's good. Praise God. And never worry about anything, it says. But in every situation, let God know what you need in prayers and request while giving thanks. So tell God and just thank him at the same time. Lord, I want to thank you. I know you're going to take care of it. I'm going to leave it with you. I praise you. And every time that problem pops up in my head, if the devil brings it up, or my flesh or my unrenewed mind tries to overtake, I just say, no, I gave it to God. God's got it. I don't have it. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to gripe about it. I'm not going to talk to people about it. I'm not going to mention it to anybody else. I'm not going to go for coffee, tell people how much trouble I have and what troubles I have. No, I'm not going to do that. My wife and I were driving the other day. We kind of talked about a certain situation. I'll find myself, I was griping, complaining about something. I had to correct myself, slap myself around. Stop the car, just slap myself around. Fell on the floor, on the side of the road, by the boulevard lake, and cops come. What is this First Nations guy doing? My wife said, oh, no, he does that once in a while. A lady said to me the other day, you know, Pastor Roma, I really enjoy listening to you because you make me laugh. Well, sometimes we need to make ourselves laugh. One guy, you know, I remember an AA preacher guy, you know, he was making me laugh all the time. I used to go to meetings, and I just love going to meetings because here's so many stories. It just makes me laugh how people talk about their lives. Now, I mean, take this in a good way. He said, when I want to go laugh, I used to go home, take all my clothes off, look in the full mirror, and laugh at myself. Now, that might not be appropriate for people, But to me, I thought that was disgusting. No, I after a good laugh, I mean, you know, I mean, people do different things to laugh at themselves. If they want to do that, then fine. I wouldn't laugh at myself. Amen. Everybody say this. I don't have a care in the world. Say, I have no anxieties. From our Bible verse, it says we are not to carry any kind of anxiety, not even one. Not even one. Care signifies a heavy mental burden. God doesn't want us to be overloaded with mental and emotional stresses and strain. When the scripture says, cast all your cares upon him, it means every one of your anxieties. And not doing that means a violation of the word of God. Notice in 1 Peter 5:7, I'm reading the New Living. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Not casting cares and anxieties upon him when you are suffering anxieties, the anxieties of life, is a violation of his word. You would be living in full disobedience to God when you do this. Some people wouldn't think so, but according to this word, it's a violation. They don't see it as a sin. They continue to carry their anxieties, feeling sorry and sad for themselves. My brothers and sisters, you know, when you have anxiety, you feel sorry and have self-pity parties. That's destructive for you. You're no good to anybody. You can't be good to anybody, not even to yourself. Is this helping someone? One lady in the front row and two at the back. So it says here, these people don't see it as a sin. They continue to carry on not practicing the word that's been revealed to them. If God says not to do something, don't do it. It's not walking in the revelation of the light they've been receiving. So it says, James chapter 4, verse 7, the Amplified Bible says this. So any person who knows what is right to do but does not do it, to him it is sin. It's a violation of the word of God if you're having worries and having anxiety attacks. It's not God's fault nor the devil's fault. It's your fault. It's your mind. It's your emotions. You do whatever you want with them. And a lot of people like to give that off over the devil and say that he's done it. No, you know, let's get it straight here and understand this. Your mind is your mind. Pastor, is it hard to learn this? It's hard at first to learn it. We're going to have lots of mistakes. You know, I used to listen to Brother Hagin. He said, I don't have a care in the world. And he wouldn't worry about anything. I said, that guy must be lying. But after studying all the scriptures, you know he's not lying. Because God's word is very clear and plain that Jesus said, I'm giving you peace, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What is all that? That's the Bible, God teaching us, and we don't have to have that. So we can live in this world anxiety free. And not experience heart palpitations, sweaty palms, glassy eyes, and you can't see straight. I mean, when I had anxiety attacks, man, I was just like, what's going on here? There's different, I mean, everyone will have a different physical reaction to it. You know, stomach, yeah, I used to eat the Tums regularly like I was eating candy. And just really tight chest, can't breathe. I didn't understand I was suffering anxiety and I had post-traumatic syndrome and God healed me. Why? Because I gave it to him instead of complaining about what the government did to me and what my parents did to me and what my reserve did to me and what the city did to me, what white people did to me. I started taking on my responsibility and say, God, I'm going to live carefree. I'm going to forgive everybody like the Bible says and go on like it never did happen, like God says. Because when you carry all these resentments of people, that's hard on your body. It's hard on you. And so we need to learn how to let these things go because they'll give you anxieties. What does it mean to cast your care? The Bible says in the Gospels that Peter, the Apostle Peter, in the Gospels, he was a fisherman. And he used a net to catch fish. When they went fishing, they didn't use rods. But you understand this, when you use a rod, you can cast as well. But they use a net. They took a net and they, if you look at the net, it's all entangled. I don't know about this, but I think there's a few fishermen in here. You know, when I used to fish with my grandmother, we'd all go in the lake. My grandfather, we set these nets, yeah? And they'd look all big entanglement of all this, didn't know what to do. But once you cast those things and you pull it out, all these fish coming in there after a while. And the thing was so full with all these fish. And that's the way we lived. And when you look at that net, it doesn't look very good. It looks like such an entanglement of, whatever. And so that talks about that net symbolizes your cares. It's all entangled. And that you throw it in the water. Take it off the boat. You're not supposed to carry it. That net should be in the water. Not on your boat. You don't just carry a net on your boat. And so Peter, he uses that analogy in his discussion in 1 Peter. If you read in the Bible that Jesus talked to Peter, Peter was a fisherman. And he uses that, he said, cast it away. I want to get at the word cast here for a moment. Because Peter said, cast that out. The word cast is not often used in the New Testament. This particular word here, the Greek word. The Greek word is spelled like this, E-P-I-R-R-H-I-P-T-O. It means... It's used also in Luke chapter 17, 33, when they cast the garments upon Jesus on the colt where Jesus was riding on his colt later. It means to throw up or to throw upon. To throw up or to throw upon. You're throwing up to God and you're throwing upon him. So that's why Peter uses that word. He said, you need to take your care, give it up to God and throw it on the Lord. Because he's going to carry it. Jesus is going to carry it for you. You're not to carry any load. You're not supposed to carry any load. You hear me? You're not supposed to carry any load. We're not supposed to carry any kind of load. God doesn't want us to be overburdened with cares. Because it's hard to function and serve God and be nice to people if you're always worried. You can't work in the church and just be all entangled with all kinds of worries and serve God properly and help people. God wants you to give it to him so that he can carry it. So Peter used nets to cast into the lake. So the net represents, our own lives that we have to carry on the Lord. Sometimes we take on more responsibilities than we have to. So we imagine that we have to solve the world's problems. Or that we imagine that we have to solve it like right now. Because we want control over everything. Then when it's hard, you have got to have faith because you have to cast it to God and trust that he'll do it for you. Have faith that he'll trust you and trust it to him that he'll do it, he'll carry it. No, we say to God, no, listen, God, I know you said this, but I'm not going to do this. Because I don't really trust you. I don't believe that you actually care for me specifically and really, my delicate matter over here. Worry and having anxieties is useless. The scripture says in Matthew 6:27, can any of you add one single hour to his life by worrying? It's useless to worry. It doesn't change anything. It's not productive. It's destructive. Worries, having anxiety, and having anxieties never do you any good or adds anything good to you. It'll add to your burdens. When you worry and have anxieties, you're calling God a liar. You belittle God. And you exalt yourself, in reality, you say, God, you're a liar. I'll have to take care of this myself. I mean, it's pretty clear. So I'm going to read a little podcast that I was reading here of a guy. He says, it's also written that our Heavenly Father knows what we need. He knows. He isn't stupid. Doubting is like just like declaring that God is blind, that God is stupid, that God is incapable. But our Heavenly Father isn't blind or senile. He pays close attention. In fact, He has numbered every hair on your head. You can rest assured He has numbered every dollar that you have or you need, right down to the last cent. He knows exactly how much you need for tomorrow, the day after, and the rest of your life. God knows everything about you, and He'll take care of everything about your life. So I'm reading somebody's blog there. God knows your every need. The Bible says, the text says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties upon the Lord. As 1 Peter 5 says, He cares for you and cares about you. Have faith that God actually cares for you, that He loves you. The Bible says in 1 John that perfect love casts out fear. When you really experience the love of God, when you really know that God loves you, you'll know for sure that He's going to take care of you. Just like you would for your own children, that you wouldn't let them go without anything. He cares about everything about you. Notice this. Let's go here for a second. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. I know sometimes this is getting a little long to teaching. You know, we could stop here and just go home, and it would be great to understand this so far. And you get something out of it. But let me just spend a couple more minutes with you. Verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. When you pray, go to Facebook. And make sure you put everything you have on there, all your burdens on there. No, it doesn't say that in there. I don't see anything about Facebook on here at all. But a lot of uninformed people, they put everything on Facebook, all their cares about it, tell everybody about their, we don't care about what you think. We don't care about your opinions. We don't want to know about them. We just want to know what God says about them. Is that good? Yeah? So put that on your Facebook. I don't care what you're thinking. We want to share nice pictures about where we're going fishing or share nice things, but people just get political all the time. I don't like this. I don't like this about that guy. So what? So I stopped being political myself about it. I don't have any opinion about Boston Bruins, Toronto Maple Leafs. I don't want to fight with you because you're my friend. I don't want you to have bad feelings about me, even if I didn't like somebody. I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't, if I had an opinion, if it's true, it doesn't matter. Amen? Like, people hate me already enough. I don't need you extra hating me. Just because you're a Christian, people hate you sometimes. Or because you're a pastor. I didn't ask to be up front. I didn't ask to be here. God put me here for a reason. And a lot of times it's fearful. I get fearful sometimes in the sense, that you can, you don't know what people are going to say to you, even in public, because I'm a public figure. I'm on the air regularly. People see me every day, everywhere. And when somebody looks at me, I'm going, ooh. Okay. I've seen you. I told my wife, I said, there's a lady who was looking at me. Beautiful lady, too. And I went. He said, I saw you. I saw you. I watched you on TV. So, I know people, even when I go drive to a drive-thru and say, hey, I know you. I see you on TV. Just like that prophecy. You remember the prophecy 2006? And John Power says, people are going to say, hey, I've seen you on television. I didn't know you on television. Exactly the same thing. Everywhere I go. And that's why I was like a fearful, because in the sense that, you don't want people to not like you. I'm the kind of guy that I want everybody to like me. I'm like the king of Kensington. And how everybody likes him, just waving at this guy, hey, how you doing? Hey, you know, hey, kid, how you doing? Nice dog. Hi. Hey, you know, we all want everybody to love us, eh? You know, I've had to learn how to be, outward, because, you know, naturally speaking, I like my privacy, and I like, you know, protection. And so, you don't want that unnecessary thing. So when you go to prayer, when thou prayest, Jesus said, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So when you go to prayer, you know, don't tell people, I've been praying for you. Well, go ahead, pray. Don't say anything. But thou, when thou prayest, enter thy closet. And when you shut your door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and your Father which sees you in secret shall reward you openly. Verse 7. But when you pray, there's that word all the time, when you pray. Now, God's expecting you to take your prayers to God, to Him, to your anxieties, to Him. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they'll be heard of their much speaking. Be thou not like unto them. Verse 8, for your heavenly Father, look at this, knows what things you need of before you ask Him. How does God know everything about my anxieties before I ever tell Him? He knows everything about you. With your little peeny brain, excuse me if I said that, but what you're thinking about, you know, you have to be, you know, you think you know everything. You don't think God knows about you. He knows everything about you. He knows every exact detail. The Bible says 139, He knows everything about you. Every intricate part in your body, He knows everything about you. And everything that goes on in your life, the Bible says He knows everything that goes on in your life. And the Bible says you need to take that, although He knows about it, still talk to Him about it. Because it's a faith thing. He knows that you need to get it off your chest. He knows, you know, one thing about counseling, let me tell you this, there's nothing secret about counseling. You know, counselor says, you know, I'm a good counselor. No, a lot of times counseling is all this. You're just telling people something, getting it off your chest. That's the secret about counseling. The Bible says, you know, confess your faults to one another. That's counseling. And talk about it so that you'll be healed. In other words, you'll be free from it. That's why AA works super good. Because you go to a meeting and you just ramble on. And it's your medicine. You don't have to make sense to anybody. Just go ahead and talk. That's why Catholics, they say, there's studies going on that Catholics, if you're a good Catholic, you go to the priest and dump it off there and you're good for the week. I heard one report that Catholics don't suffer from mental disorders like other people because they have that ingredient in their life where you can tell somebody. So the Bible says when you go to a closet, tell God. Tell God, even though He knows, tell Him about it. That's how you get rid of anxiety. Amen. And so you can't just keep that bottled up inside. That's why people have breakdowns. You cannot afford to live one more day with anxiety. So this is the part I'm sharing. I'm going to show you how to do that in a very practical way sometimes this year. Because I get to go back to my other teaching that we did last time about blame game, blaming everybody for your problems. So maybe we'll do two at once. Did this help you? Let's have the music team up here. Hallelujah. Let's come up and get everybody dancing. And we're going to cast every care on the Lord. And we're going to show you the technical procedures, how to do that at some point. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to cast our cares on the Lord. Cast every worry, every burden in the name of Jesus. Everybody stand up. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We want to thank you. If that teaching has been good to you, let's go ahead and lift your hands up to God because thank God for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you for the Word today. We lift up our hands in surrendering our lives to you. And we prayed a prayer of commitment to you, Lord. of dedication and submission to you. We say, God, once again, I'm coming to you. I'm giving you my life. I'm rededicating my life to you. Spirit, soul, and body. I thank you that you care for every one of my needs. And so I bring you my needs. I thank you for caring for me, loving me. You know every detail of my life. You know what's going on in my life. So I'm giving you up to you, throwing it on to you. I'm not going to carry these worries anymore. This is the last day for anxiety attacks. The last day of carrying burdens. I don't care what it is. I'm carrying it on, casting it on you right now. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have them. I'm not going to be griping about it. I'm not going to be complaining about it. I'm not going to think about it. But what I'm going to think about is that God, He's working on it while I'm having a good time. I'll not worry. I'll not fear because you said to do it. In the name of Jesus, this is the last day I'll ever have worries. I'll ever have concerns. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me of my past. I'm changing my ways. In Jesus' name, go ahead and pray. Come on, people, let's sing something.